shit. Got plans to get my man in my shit.
I like a brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, a Haitian. With
good conversation. Oh, boy.
It's a must. I stay luxurious.
Oh, boy.
Precision like I bust. Been winning since.
The number one morning show in the country. We on Fridays.
Trust this true.
This is hip hop. Let me know.
Slide through, drive by. You say, don't look, you do. Shine so bright in the whip. You too. You wish Boo Boo could ride with you tonight. Ain't nothing in the world that Brat can't do. She attractive to them, him, her.
Oh, man. If you don't love the Brat, we cannot be friends. Cost is priceless. Tyrese, bring me in.
Like this. What do you like? Whole lot of foreplay right before you get.
Way before baby boy. Way before baby boy. Y'all remember this summer though. Y'all remember this summer though. The most famous Nelly song ever. Every basement party. This broke down all the walls. Hey, hey, you can't bubble to this. You can't break down to this. It's just a good vibe. Listen, listen. I told y'all, this ain't no joke show here, bro. You gotta be ready on Friday mornings. You gotta be ready.
Time to shoot my steez. You know, waiting for the right time to flash them keys. And I'm leaving, please believe in. Oh, me and the rest of my heathens. Checking, got a lock at the top of the Four Seasons. Penthouse, rooftop, birds, I'm feeding. No deceiving, nothing up for sleeping. No teasing. I need you to get up up on the dance floor. Get that man what he asking for. Cause I feel like busting loose. And I feel like touching you. And can't nobody stop the juice. So baby, tell me what's the use. I said, it's getting hot in here. So, hot. So take off all your clothes.
Cause I am getting so hot. I wanna take my clothes off.
Oh, it's getting hot in here. So, hot. So take off all your clothes.
I am getting so hot. I wanna take my clothes off.
Why you at the bar if you ain't popping the bottles?
Come on,
good. All the fame if you ain't pushing the models.
I see you driving.
Sports cars.
Ain't hitting a throttle.
And I be down.
I do 100 top down.
It's about to get real in here.
It's the Morning Detour Show.
Yes, 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 yes. In Montreal, my city. I don't know what time it is. It is the number one urban morning show in the country. I am Wazy Mochaser, the Montreal Kobe Bryant. They know that I'm nice. They hate that it's me. I'm alongside the Nigerian princess. The doors only go up. This is Lambo season. This is feature presentation. Woosa. We are in the building. X-Wam here. Seals, HLR here. Let me go. You know what I mean? Since 1973, this thing called hip-hop has given you everything you need. We gave you style. We gave you flow. It showed you how to talk to the ladies. It showed you how to bring people closer to the culture. But more importantly, it showed disenfranchised black dudes we could get money and still talk about our story. Hip-hop is about our story. What's this guy's laughing? DJ Vanigo! I'm gonna hit you with a saxophone. What you ask if hip-hop doesn't encompass all these other genres? We are coming to you live on YouTube and Facebook. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, I didn't even pull this on the list. This is DJ Manny's just freestyling now.
I see the one. She be that lady.
Talk to me, Montreal. Let me go.
I feel you creeping. I can see it from my shadow.
Oh, she creepy, though.
In my Lamborghini Gallardo.
Lambo season.
To my place and just kick it like Tybo. And possibly then you're over. Look back and watch me smack that all on the floor. Smack that. Give me some.
Oh, she better be able to smack that. Me don't want no flat booty trick. You don't know.
All on the floor. Smack that. Give me some moves.
ready to attack now. Pulling the parking lot slow with the lockdown. Convicts got the whole thing packed now. Step in the club, the wardrobe intact now. I feel it on and crack now. Ooh, I see it's all at back now. I'ma call them, then I put the Mac down. Money no problem, pocket full of that now. That now. I feel you creeping, I can see it from my shadow. Wanna jump up in my Lamborghini Gallardo.
Big nipping, baby. Okay. Let me turn your mic off. Let me turn. Oh, Maddie. Oh. Okay, Matt. I'm gonna take the volume all the way out. You can't. I'm gonna take it out. You gotta pull it up. You can't play Big Pimpin' like regular folk.
Oh my God.
Now
DJ
for
Maddie.
No.
Woo.
No. Okay. Real quick. The hardest thing about the Morning Detour is that we're a multi-generational show. Now, when I created the Morning Detour, I thought it was just going to be my friends in the 30s listening to the show, but a lot of older folks and younger folks listening to the show. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, when Jay-Z did Big Pimpin', it was a pivotal time in Rockefeller. It was at the height of Rockefeller. Yep. They're on a boat. It's Trinidad Carnival.
Yep.
There was rumors about Jay-Z having a secret son, and then he did Big Pimpin'. They said Big Pimpin' is the hierarchy, aside from Tip Drill, of misogyny within hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
I just say it's just a good time on the boat.
That's what I say.
DJ Maddie, bring me in. 49 years, baby. If you don't know the gin, if you don't have the Dame Dash with the bottle.
No.
Oh. The way Jay-Z talked about Beyonce on this is crazy.
You know why? Thug them, fuck them, love them, leave them. You know why? Thug them, fuck them, love them, leave them. Cause I don't fuck. You know why? Thug them, fuck them.
I told you it's a mature morning show. I ain't gonna hold you.
People looking good, but I don't fucking feed them. First time they fuss, I'm breathing. Talking about what's the reason? I'm a pimpin' every sense of the word, bitch. Better trust and believe them. In the cut where I keep them.
Yeah, you couldn't trust them. Jay-Z was teaching you.
Beep, beep, and I'm picking them up. Let them play with the dick in the truck. Many chicks want to put chicken fists and cup. Divorce them and split his bucks.
Yeah.
Just because you got good head, I'm a break bread so you could be living it up.
Nah.
Shit, I pass with nothing. Y'all be fronting. Me give my heart to a woman. Not for nothing. Never happen. I'll be forever macking. Hard cold and assassins. I got no passion. I got no patience. And I hate waiting. Don't get your ass in. And let's ride.
Me singing like R. Kelly this morning.
All eyes on me. This the Morning Detour.
It's the mighty CKT 90.3 FM, the number one morning show in the country. We are urban music. We are hip hop.
Who to trust? So many player hating niggas trying to sound like us.
You know.
Don't
matter if you do your show on Thursday, on Wednesday, on Tuesday, on Monday. The best morning show, period, in the city is the Morning Detour.
Straight to the depths of hell is where them caps going. Well, I bet you got it twisted, you don't know who to trust. So
yeah.
Many player hating niggas trying to sound like us. Say they ready for the funk, but I don't think they know it. Straight to the depths of hell is where them caps going. Well, all you steal down, nigga, holler when you see me. And let these devils suck for the day they finally freed me. I got a caravan of niggas every time we ride. Hitting motherfuckers up when we pass by. Until I die, live the life of a boss player. Cause even when I'm high, fuck with me and get lost later. The future's in my eyes. Cause all I want is cash and things. I'm 500, bands wanting flashy brains. Bitches pursue me like a dream. Been known to disappear before your eyes. It's like a dope thing. It seems my main thing was to be major pay. The game sharper than the motherfucking razor blade. Save money, bring bitches. Bitches bring lies. One nigga's getting jealous and motherfuckers die. Depend on me like the first and 15. They might hold me for a second, but these punks won't get me. We got four niggas and low riders and ski masks screaming thug like every time they pass. All eyes on me.
This summer, I'm going to avoid spreading COVID-19. It's easy. I'll wear a mask in crowded places. If I have symptoms, I'll self-isolate and do a rapid test. If I test positive, I'll stay home for at least 5 days. And for the next 5 days, I won't visit anyone who's at risk. I'll avoid social events like festivals and gatherings. And I'll limit my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask and staying 2 meters away from others. The virus is still out there, so we have to be careful. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Union United Church, Cinema Politica, and Catbird Productions are proud to invite you to a special community screening of Dear Jackie, a feature documentary by Henri Pardon. This special event will take place in Little Burgundy's historic Union United Church on Thursday, September 1st at 7 p.m., and the screening will be followed by a discussion with the director and participants from the film. Dear Jackie poetically tells the story of one of the oldest black communities in Canada, Montreal's Little Burgundy, by way of a cinematic letter to Jackie Robinson, the first black man to break the color barrier in professional baseball. It also masterfully connects to the present by challenging the myth of a post-racial society. Make sure not to miss this special event. Admission is on a first-come, first-served basis, and a minimum donation of $5 for the church is highly recommended. This event is sponsored by Caisse des Jardins du Sud-Ouest de Montréal and the Sud-Ouest Borough of Montreal. For more information, visit cinemapolitica.org. We hope to see you there. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Montrealers were so proud it happened in their city.
MuTech Montreal, the most important festival for digital creativity and electronic music in North America, returns for its 23rd edition at Quartier de Spectacle. From Tuesday, August 23rd to Sunday, August 28th, vibe to the rhythm of more than 100 local and international artists such as Caterina Barbieri, Cora Novoa, Koreatown Acid, Luke Slater, Max Cooper, and Nicola Cruz. MuTech also has a program dedicated to professionals with its MuTech Forum and Market, which consists of 4 days of exchanges and events centered around digital creation. The complete program and tickets are now available at a preferential rate at montreal.mutech.org. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
The show was sounding mean this one.
Yeah.
Happy. We built this city. Montreal, my city, the number one morning show in the country. This is the Morning Pizza. So this morning we are celebrating the 49 years of hip-hop, billion-dollar
right.
industry. Things is happening. She's one of our guests, so X-Ram, I guess she'll pull up the other seat there. So things is happening. Lambo, how you doing thus far? You feeling good?
I'm good. Say hi to everybody live.
We in the building! Weezy Moon chasing much of our corporate brand, a feature presentation, Lambeezy in the building.
Oh boy, oh boy.
I want to do the top 10 hip-hop movies.
Oh, sorry. I'm not like, I don't do stuff. X is signing to me. I'm like, what's going on?
Yo, you guys are horrible in charades. Nobody invites this couple to charades. X-Wam and Lambo is not happening.
I'm better at Twister.
Okay, let's do the top 10 best hip-hop movies. Mm. Okay, so according to Billboard, in no particular order, we have Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah.
I want to put it in my top 10, but it'll be in my top 20. I have Hustle and Flow. Hustle Flow is in my top 10.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, Hustle Flow is good, man. Talk about a get rich story. Hustle Flow is man good. We have Crush Groove. For those who know, Crush Groove is a 1985 American musical comedy drama film distributed by Warner Music, and that's one of the antithesis for hip hop, which was Crush Groove, one of our first like really notable hip hop movies. You got Beats and Rhymes and Life, The Tribes of the Tribe Called Quest.
That was a good one.
Yeah, Tribe Called Quest is super dope, man. Like, you know, talk about boom bap rap. That's some deep stuff right there. We have another one called Something from Nothing, The Art of Rap. I've never seen that one.
That was actually a really good one. Yeah, I caught that one. That's a really, really good one. I think that to me is a classic.
You have another one here. I think this is for X-Wam. It's called Breaking. So Breaking is a 1984 American breakdancing theme musical film directed by Joel Silberg and written by Charles Parker and Alan DeBevoise. So that's really dope. They have Dave Chappelle's Block Party up here. So they say that's one of the top movies.
I need this to go down more. It ain't finna work for me.
You got Beat Street. Beat Street's a 1984 American drama dance film featuring New York City hip-hop culture of the early 1980s. Set in the South Bronx, so that's really good. Beat Street's a good movie, you know, those of you trying to consume hip-hop culture.
Yep.
8 Mile. Do you know 8 Mile made $242.9 million.
Yeah.
And only cost $41 million to make.
That was insane. When I saw the numbers, I couldn't even believe
that. Oh, he killed it. Oh, he killed it. He killed it. And you have a movie called Wild Style. Wild Style is a 1983 American hip-hop film directed and produced by Charlie Aheem, regarded as the first hip-hop motion picture. So shout out to Wild Style. But y'all ain't come here for that.
No.
Y'all ain't come here for that. I know what y'all want to talk about. Let's talk about the movies that didn't make the list.
Oh, hold on. There's somebody, one of the people that are on live asked me about Belly.
Listen, they done beat me to it. I'm coming to it right now.
Because I was thinking about Belly.
Okay. Maddie, give me a different instrumental. Let's start with Belly. Belly, Hype Williams, at the time was recorded as one of the best hip-hop videographers for the hip-hop music videos. Man, how good was Belly? DMX, I keep thinking about this, that sex scene with Keisha. Mm-hmm. DMX killed that joint. Belly... You can't talk about hip-hop movies without talking about Belly. I know my parents are looking at me. I felt like DMX wasn't even acting in that movie. I felt he was just being himself.
Yeah.
You had hip-hop. You had drug culture. You had dancehall. I love when they went back to Jamaica on that one.
Oh, listen.
They went back to the gates. You had Sean Paul and Mr. Vegas on stage. One of the greatest songs, dancehall songs ever. It was great.
I didn't understand why it wasn't on the list because that was one of the first things I thought about. I put it on my list, Belly. I'm like, what happened?
But you know what I mean? You know the university folk that studied hip hop that are putting these lists together up there, Billboard.
Ones that do it wrong? The ones that don't do their research off of one link?
How do you do a list and not put Belly? Belly was designed for the list.
There you go.
Belly was marketed as the hip hop film.
It should have been on the top of the list.
I have a little thing called
just saying.
I have a little movie called Juice.
Oh, yes.
How do you not have juice on the list? How do you not? Yo, when Tupac was in the school hallway, and he's like, I don't care about nobody.
Yeah.
I don't care about you. I don't care. Yo, man, Tupac was a legend, man.
Yo.
We lost Tupac way too early. Tupac was a legend.
Way too early.
Tupac didn't care about nobody. I have a movie called Friday.
Mm-hmm.
A little movie called Friday.
Robin Friday. Friday wasn't on the list. See, again, somebody put the list together from a university that doesn't actually know the culture of hip-hop, but took one link and didn't do their research properly and said this is what's going to be the top 5 or top 10 movies. But there's so many movies that are missing. So I have a problem with that.
Friday.
Friday was it, man.
Man. He knock you out! No, that's Friday. Okay, so let me ask you this, Lambo. Who's your favorite cousin? Day-Day or the homie? Okay, what was Chris Tucker's character's name in Friday? Was it Smokey?
Hold on.
We might have to Google that one. I'm going to Google that one.
Listen, my favorite one was Day-Day.
You like Day-Day over Chris Tucker?
Listen, Chris Tucker's Crystal, but I like Day-Day. There was somebody that just resonated. You know why? Because I actually have a cousin like that. That's why it resonated
so much. Which one of your cousins' name? Not your Ukrainian cousin.
No, listen, I have a lot of family that lives down south because my grandmother is Southern. My grandfather's Nigerian, so there's a lot of Southern family. I got that uncle. You know that uncle at the barbecue that's flirting with all the women, think he's hot as hell?
With the open-toe sandal with the little squares?
With his little gut hanging out.
What's the name of that sandal? But let me talk. Your hip-hop starter pack needs to have Friday, because we're not even going to recognize you if you don't have Friday under your belt.
Nope.
Yeah, Smokey. I have a little movie called Above the Rim.
Yes.
Tupac once again.
Yes, again, yeah.
Boy, that's the one movie that homeboy did. I know he's married to homegirl Gina from Martin. That's the one movie that homeboy did, and he's still riding off that.
Yeah.
Tupac was a G in that one, boy. Boy. Above the Rim was the joint.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a movie called Boys in the Hood. I don't know if Boys in the Hood is not on the list. And also you have Men's to Society, which kind of play off Boys in the Hood. It was a little more comical. And also you have a movie that no one talks about really often, a movie called New Jersey Drive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a, yeah. Oh! Yeah, that was it.
Oh, y'all talk because we Canadian. I know my thing them.
But, you know, we have to bring it down to one movie that we haven't brought up. It's technically, when we look at emceeing and what people want to say, poetry is there, yes, and spoken word is there. Love Jones, because it was black love. Okay, there's a lot of poetry, and I'm gonna say it
hold on. I don't want you to go on that beat. Give her a different instrumental. I want you to fully get your Love Jones off, because you don't. Yeah, you're speaking to my heart right now. You don't even know how I feel about Love Jones. You don't even know my take on Love. I'm gonna let you go, and then I'm gonna go. So go. Let me sit.
Love Jones, let's go there. First of all, the black love that they portrayed, okay? That's number one. The complication with black love that they portrayed, but the music, the jazz, the spoken word, everything about that movie was sexy. It made black culture look good and sexy and beautiful and not tacky. And that is something that we need to look at, because when we talk about hip-hop music and we talk about the movies that are out there, people be like, okay, it's all gangbanging. No, we know how to love. We know how to be, you know, grown and sexy. We know how to do that, too, because that movie, listen, the soundtrack alone did it for me, because I love jazz, you know? Like, ooh, Billy Paul. I was like, listen, Billy Paul, me and Mrs. Jones.
Okay. Ooh. Okay, we're going to let some things out
the woodwork. A sentimental feeling.
We're going to let some things out the woodwork this morning. There were like three movies growing up. When Shorty came to your house, y'all had the pet day.
Yeah.
Or you didn't go to school that day. There were three movies
you
had to have in the tuck. Actually, it was four. I messed up. One, we could debate about it.
Okay.
The one we could debate about was Save the Last Dance. Mm. I got some box off Save the Last Dance. You came over, we had some wings, and we had some Sunny D. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? We chilled out on the sofa. I put Save the Last Dance. You know what part I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They got the part where she was showing him how to... He was giving her the hip-hop dance.
Yeah.
He was giving her the excellent.
Yeah.
He was giving her the... Okay, this is how you got to move. There's a little movie called The Wood.
Yes.
If we ain't going to talk about The Wood, we ain't going to talk about hip-hop.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what's gross? I fooled around with playing The Wood in the background. Yeah, come on. Ain't nobody want to talk about that?
No, that's a good movie. Yeah. We'll leave that there.
A movie called The Best Man Wedding.
Yes.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I never even got to the scene when Maurice Chestnut found out he was the one. He was writing about his wife. I never got that far.
You didn't got that far.
I never got that far. I never got that far. I was already in the mix. The number one movie growing up as a teenager, when the bad black hood chick came to your house. Ain't nobody want to talk about it. You don't act as if like we ain't had the number one show in the country.
Mm.
So no one's going to talk about Love and Basketball. We ain't going to talk about Love and Basketball.
Yeah.
We ain't talking about basketball.
No,
when homie came across.
Yeah.
When homie came across the Lord. Middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you had that. And you heard the Angelo.
Yeah.
You heard the Angelo.
I know.
And he creeped up in the bed and took her virginity.
Yeah.
We don't talk about... When they were in college.
I know.
And he needed her to relate. His dad was... His dad must have been Haitian. He was cheating. Had all kind of extramarital affairs.
He could have been African or...
When he needed you.
Uh-huh.
And you told him, I had to go back to the dorm. I forgave him in the morning. We about to check in.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I got into my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I used it against you.
I know. Revenge.
I was about to marry Tyra.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you pop back Sanae Lathan when you put her against the wall.
Yes, yep.
If you've never seen Sanae Lathan in Disappearing Acts of Wesley Snipes, we could not be friends.
Yeah, no, she's bad. I love her.
Sanae Lathan bums like this.
That was a...
Love and Basketball.
Basketball is a classic.
You never got to the college scene.
No.
If you was a real dude, you never got to the college scene, man.
Well, I got to the college scene too many times, so I guess I wasn't messing with real dudes before my husband.
You never got to the college scene if you really watch Love and Basketball. You just put it on. It just clicked for girls.
No.
They just knew. Love Jones. Love Jones. I tell everybody, you know, I know a lot of people outside of black culture want to take it in.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people want to date black guys, and I tell a lot of my hood black guy friends, I said, you can't be with her unless you watch Love Jones with her.
Yep.
Because, you know, shout out to Lambo. She spoke about the jazz and the soundtracks and the portrayal of black love.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit different than Love Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing with Love Jones, it was you saw the hate with Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
You understand the poetry. One of the most remarkable things about Love Jones, when he spoke about the fact you can't bite into your skin.
Yep.
You know, I mean, your own built-in mechanism is blocking you from that.
Exactly.
And in the end, he had to bite into skin to really show,
mm-hmm.
I want you more than myself.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn.
Ooh, that gave me goosebumps. Yeah,
I was like, God damn. Face up. I was like, face up. You set the bar too high. All the girls looking like, yes, I want you to love me this way.
Oh, yeah.
You set the bar way too high, fam. You set the bar way too hard, fam. We ain't trying to do that. Man, what a deep movie, man.
It was. I watched that movie too many damn times.
Oh, man. Let's play some music, man.
We need a moment.
I'm thinking about Nia Long.
That was the era of when I cut my hair. That was the era.
Did she do Love Jones before Soul Food? Nia Long.
I believe so. Yeah, it came out before Soul Food.
Nia mm-hmm. Long, yep. Man. Nia Long, fam. Y'all talk to me about Beyonce and Lori Harvey. Mm. You know what I mean? Ciara's body. Who's some of the girls that he talk about? I got, you know, Megan Thee Stallion, all these chicks, Cardi. Nia Long, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Nia Long above Halle Berry?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay, I just wanted to know.
Yes,
I just wanted to know. I watched Swordfish the other day. Halle Berry was looking right. I ain't gonna hold you. But Nia Long.
No. Mm-mm.
Nia Long.
She set the bar for all of us when we were coming up, growing up.
Nia Long with Tisha Campbell.
Yeah. Mm.
This is a real Arbor Morning Show. We bring things to the forefront. Nia Long or Tisha Campbell? I'm telling you, Lambo.
Oh,
my God. You asked if I ICO question. I don't know.
I would have to say on that one, Tisha Campbell.
Why? Because you guys are both light skin.
No, it has nothing to do with being light skin. Don't even start that shit with me.
Because we know you guys are. Chris Brown says you guys don't invite him to the light skin congregation.
No, it's, you know what it is? We don't. But you know what it is? You know what it is? It's the fact, it's two, you can't put those two against each other, like in the same mix, because they both had something different. Because she was, you know, all the comedy and everything. She was, you know, the funny one. And she was beautiful, funny, and everything. She had the body. But Nia Long is like, it's a different category. You can't put that together. That's not right.
Man.
Can't ask me that question.
You got to put soul food in there.
Yeah.
So, soul food, you know, nobody wants to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it.
Go ahead.
Soul food is when we found out that, hey, you listen. You might have some foul family members. Your cousin might be a little bit mixy. Now, nobody want to point this out. Listen, y'all listen to the show. Y'all already know. You know which cousin in your family is a hoe. Stop it.
Yep.
Stop it. Stop. We all got that hoe cousin.
I got a couple, apparently.
She be coming to the family gatherings with some loose clothing. Like, there's children here. The type of diamond. Yeah. Oh, boy. So it was great. DJ Maddie, bring up some music. Coming up next.
Soul food. Man, I knew my family was messed up before soul food. When I saw it, I was like, there's a movie about my family. Sitting down having Sunday dinner. You know, it was literally the same thing because we used to have Sunday dinner. When I was coming up and growing up at my grandmother's house, we had Sunday dinner because my grandfather...
You came up on Sunday dinners, okay.
Yeah, I did. I came up on Sunday dinners and I did it for my kids for many, many years. And because my grandfather, my father's father was a pastor. So we had to go to church, go to Sunday school. So trust me, there was a lot of stuff that I saw growing up. Okay, especially Sunday dinner. You know, that kid that's creeping around, 9 years old, looking around. I found the whole cousin, a couple of them.
Oh, you ain't got to look far. She the one coming with a different dude all the time.
Yeah.
You got to call mad different dudes uncle and cousin. Listen, coming up next. man, listen, this is going to be like a three-parter special because this, like,
it has
I got
to be.
I got mad. We even talked about the most polarizing people. We got some guests coming up next.
Part two next week.
we got two great people from the community. Yeah. We have Camille George and my man Khan Booba. They have a great initiative called Pick Your Path for Black Youth. I think it's very important. So Pick Your Path is it's a paid mentorship experience for black high school students in grade 10 and 11. The program is designed to expose black learners to various areas of studies and equip them with the tools needed to make informed and empowered decisions about their educational path wherever that time comes. Yeah. Now, this is important because Kanye West done send Pete Davidson to the damn mental hospital.
No, I gotta speak on that because Pete Davidson's been had mental health issues, and I don't like when somebody blames other people for that nonsense. I thought he was hard, you know. Pete Davidson's like, I'm this rocker guy, I can handle this stuff.
Okay, with you saying that, so my only pushback is this: I felt like Kanye escalated what was already embedded within Pete Davidson.
He did escalate it because he's also very mentally ill. He has bipolar disorder.
Because you got excited when you saw the video when Kim Kardashian, I know we all saw the clip, when Kim Kardashian came through, said, Pete, I'm going to take a shower. Do you want to take one on me? That's a bit odd to me.
First of all, I already knew from jump that she was using him, okay? It's number one, she's
no,
bored.
No, don't say that.
I'm sorry, I said it. You can tell. You can tell. I had this conversation with a whole group of my girlfriends, and you can tell.
Then
she just, you know, just dropped him. That's it. It's all a game to her, and that's the problem with some of these women out there that put themselves on this high pedestal, and that we put on that pedestal. They tend to use men. We have to talk about that because we only talk about men using women, but we have to talk about women who use men. We don't have that conversation.
But see, that's me for the detail after dark. The deeper conversation is that a lot of men are under the assumption that women don't have agendas. A lot of you guys walk around town like you guys are God gifts to women. Like, women have agendas too.
A lot of women do.
I think women are the best at understanding how to push buttons and when to push the buttons.
100%.
I think you guys are amazing at that.
We are. I'm not gonna lie. I keep it real. I don't lie.
The best show in the country, bro. I promise
you. I keep it real. What do you want me to say?
It's a shame. It's only. Let's play some music.
Sorry, ladies. I'm gonna say.
We got some. Let's help the youth, okay? Let's help future generations. DC Maddie, play me some music. Let's get some things, man.
Soon. I gotta get drunk before the day begins, before my mother starts bitching about my friends. About to go and damn near went blind. Young niggas at the pad throwing up gang signs. Ran in the house and grabbed my clip with the Mac 10 on the side of my hip.
Yeah, hold on. We can't play this like regular folks. I want you guys to understand. Virgin is never going to do this. CJD is never going to do this. Beats is never going to do this. This is the number one urban morning show in the country. I will kill anybody on Flow in Toronto. Nobody can see me.
I second that.
This is a problem. This is a problem. And we didn't even play our best song of the day yet. I didn't want to say what it is. It's coming out the end of it. Somebody gotta talk to me.
Braveheart.
You see what we do here in the morning, Dito? We get mixy on a Friday morning. We are celebrating 49 years of hip hop. They don't do it like how we do it, man. Talk to me, DJ Maddie. Let me know. Listen, get your 40s out. If you wasn't drinking Alizé in 01, 02, we can't be friends.
What y'all thought y'all wasn't gonna see me?
I'm about to go back to New York and get my bomber on. I'm gonna put my high socks on. If you wasn't rocking Timberlands and hoodies to this, we can't be friends. I don't know.
I'm gonna rub your ass in the moonshine. Let's take it back to 79.
Give it to them, man.
Yeah. With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. But I, somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky-ass shit like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's and make a few wins as I breeze through. 2 in the morning and the party still jumping cause my mama ain't home. I got bitches in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you wanna do? Shit, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too. So turn off the lights and close the door. But for what?
We don't let them hoes.
Yeah. So we gon' smoke an ounce to this. G's up, hold down while you motherfuckers bounce to this.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. Listen, listen. We can't talk hip-hop without talking about Dipset. If you're over 30, you know what I'm talking about. When Cameron hits you with the pink, you knew what time it was. Way before Kanye. Way before Kanye. Cameron hits you with a pink. Hood nigga. Gangsta. Harlem. The flyest hip-hop group of all time. It's Diplomats. It's crazy.
Now it's downtown clubbing, ladies' night.
Yeah.
Seen shorty, she was crazy, right?
You know.
Approach baby light. Ma, what's your age and type?
I don't know.
She looked at me and said, you's a baby, right? I told her, I'm 18 and live a crazy life. Plus, I tell you what the 80s like. And I know what the ladies like. Need a man that's polite, listens and takes advice. I could be all three. Plus, I can lay the pipe. Come with me, come stay tonight. She looked at me laughing, like, boy, your game is tight. I'm laughing back, like, sure, you're right. Get in the car, and don't touch nothing. Sit in the car, let's discuss something. Either we loving or I see you tomorrow. Now we speeding up the west side, hand creeping up a left side. I'm ready to do it, ready to bone, ready for dome. 55th exit, damn, damn, already we home. Now let's get it on.
Hey, mom, let's slide. All right, we gon' get it.
Me too. Got me love still on the gallop, look good. All the gallop on the sentimental thing. I'm freak, man, that's one. We all got me, now I'm seeing the cut. I love it to the gallop when I'm look good. I watch it. Some gallop freak, some gallop freak. On the week, some gallop freak.
Best morning show in the country. Best morning show in the country. Coming up next, friend of the show, Kambuba, Camille George. We're talking community a little bit. Let's save the kids. Don't let Kanye lead them astray. I promise you. We got some paid mentorship coming up next.
It's about to get real in here.
It's the morning
it's
before
one
show.
Nobody is this hype this early. They say I'm on drugs.
But my only drug is hip hop.
Love this life. It's the morning detour with Mighty CKT 90.3 FM. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boy, 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 boy. What a morning. I'm the white con that's so far away from the mic. We live, nigga.
Get close.
Somebody pick up a headphone. Let's get this thing popping.
Get it going.
Montreal, my city. I don't know what time it is. It's 8:50 on my stream.
8:39 a.m.
It's 8:39?
Yeah, 8:39 a.m.
Okay, so the time is off.
Things moving. Everything's been off this morning.
Boy! What a hip-hop anniversary.
We're going to have
boy.
To do a part two.
Boy, next Woo! Week.
Next week.
I didn't do my best moments. I didn't do my most polarizing. Two. People do part two next
we'll
week.
We'll do part two. It's worth it.
I think it's important we talk to the kids a little bit. Yeah.
in our city, we, you know, we have few initiatives that's geared towards the youth. I feel all they want to do is play Roadblock and get online. You know, I saw my girl the other day. I said, these little niggas don't even go outside. They don't want to play. I remember when I was 13, 14, so we was on road.
Yep.
We was at leadership. We was getting pop. I don't know what these guys are doing now. They're online.
Yep, pretty
much. I don't want to look at the screen. So, friend of the show, my guy. I tell you, this is my guy to the fullest. My boy Khan Booba, counselor in psychology. He's been mentoring young teens for a long time. Do you counsel adults as well?
Yeah, so my private practice is open to everybody.
No, not everybody, because you booked, so you a liar. Anyways, moving right along. We have a first timer on the show. We have Camille George. Camille George is a Haitian Canadian. Now, Camille, I'll tell you right now, we're not going to get into the initiative just yet. We're going to get some jokes off with you real early. But you got some hard words in your bio. Multidisciplinary experience in leading and co-creating projects related to the social inclusion and marginalized youth. I love all of that. I love all that. So before we get into you guys' great program, you guys have a paid mentorship for young kids. Before we get into all that, how good is your Juhi Kami? Aside from your beautiful Haitian sister, don't be shy. Let me get you going here. Don't be shy. How good is your griot?
It might be a hot take, but I feel like Ziri Akpois is the best rice and peas of the Caribbean.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
It might be a hot take.
No. You in the right place, Chef. Shaheed. To the bon place.
She was supposed to say it was the best in the Caribbean because jollof rice not be the best though.
No.
Jollof rice now. I be Nigel, so I. Please.
Lambo, I don't know where you want to go with this. Haitian people make the best rice. Mm-hmm. Kind of if you don't know, I'm half Haitian. My dad's Haitian, but the Haitian cabal says I don't get the full Haitian rice because I don't speak Creole fully. But I understand.
Yeah.
So I don't get the full Haitian credits, but it's a beautiful thing, man. So your Haitian rice is right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
On point.
Look like she makes a serious soul spa.
I love Haitian rice. Yeah. I have to give a shout out to my girl, Jessica, because she always comes through with the Haitian rice. She's Guatemalan and Haitian. Mm-hmm. And every time I have a party, she always brings that Haitian rice. I'm like, okay, I'll make you jollof rice. You make me Haitian rice. There you go.
The best is when they diverse the rice. You have Ziri Akpois, Rijonjon, a little white rice with sauce pois, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, you want them expensive Haitian girls. Yeah. Okay.
You look
okay.
At her, you can tell.
No,
she
I get you
herself.
Now. If y'all don't know, Rijonjon, that's that wild.
Girl, right
that's
she won the bougie rice.
Yeah,
good, that, I like
that,
her.
That's that see? Wild mushroom. That might cost you an extra $5 when you go check mommy at Mashiach Marabu. Or Steve Banana. Let's get into it, guys. You guys are doing great work in the community. Khan, I even know how much things you want to do, nigga. Like, shit.
You're just doing everything. It's
well, amazing. People don't. Listen, I don't know. He might get mad at me. I don't give a fuck. Yo, listen, I'll tell you right now. Khan has the best podcast that's about to drop. Conversations is the deepest joint ever. Sales, I ain't going to hold you. We did an episode about confidence. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind. Khan, I know how much things you and Kami want to do. So, you guys have an initiative. Let me present it to you. It's called Pick Your Path for Black Youth.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn. Talk about the blueprint. So Pick Your Path is a paid membership experience for black high school students in grade 10 and 11. I do want to ask you guys, too, why you guys chose specifically 10 and 11. We'll get into all that. So, the program is designed to expose black learners to various areas of study and equip them with the tools needed to make informed and empowered decisions about their educational path. All you have to do is make them sit down with me. I'll tell them what's good. I said, oh, fuck it, isn't it? I'll tell them what's good. So by pairing black high school students with black McGill students or alumni mentor, we offer networks of support and positive representations with the hope to facilitate the transition to post-secondary education for black youth. Additionally, the students are invited to various workshops with black professors and students to learn about different study and career options. I think that's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So let me know how you guys want to start this. First of all, why community work, Camille? It's so much work. Why? Listen, I tell Lambo all the time. Why? You know, you're gorgeous. You're educated. Just do it for you. Pourquoi tout le monde? Why?
No, that is doing it for me. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to me.
Yeah, when I graduated university 2018, I went to work at La Maison d'Haïti in Saint-Michel.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with young girls specifically. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, I said, that's all I want to do. I was working to help young girls transition through adolescence, but they were helping me through my 20s and everything, so I keep organizing, that's it.
No, I'm tired of all you organizers. Too much organizing. Con Booba, man, brother, man, your plate is full. You have Griot, you have Tasso. You a bougie nigga, so you got some Lambie as well. But I'm trying to figure out, you know, for years, you know, you've built, you know, your whole brand of counseling. You know, you have a, you know, a degree in counseling psychology. I think your purpose is so important because you speak to the youth. Mm-hmm. You guide the youth, which is the most, to me, is the most important part. What gravitated you to pick your path for black youth? Goddamn, I'm kicking the plantation. We about to go back to Barbados right now.
So there's a bit of a story behind it, but the first,
of course,
thing, like, you know, I'm preaching. Yeah. But similar to Cammy, like for me, I realized at a very early age in my life that it was just, I was built for service. So I was built to kind of give back to people. With the Pick Your Path, it started with in 2020, after the George Floyd murder, after the awakening in terms of society with social justice movements, anti-black racism, systemic racism. McGill, in part, responded by creating an anti-black racism plan. Mm. At the same time, McGill contracted me to help provide consultation on the plan,
right,
and then help with implementation. One of the areas that it focused on was outreach to the black community. So what I was asked to do while they were looking for the individual who was going to oversee that part of the plan, which is Kemi, was they asked me to design a program that combined outreach to the community with student leadership. So what I wanted to do, there's a couple of things that drove this. I felt what was really important is that it has to be a program or something that is designed by the community for the community. So I did some research, I looked at some programs, both for black community and First Nations and indigenous peoples across North America. What I came up with is something that, to me, the focus was, how do I invest in my community? How do I enrich my community? How do I support or lift my community? So there's some key aspects to the program that I put in. One was, instead of just focusing on black youth, I focused on the family unit. To me, the greatest opportunity or likelihood for success is if I uplift the family unit, so they're always in a constant position to support black youth. It isn't just this individualized approach where you feel like it's me against the world.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I
want to ask you something about the program that you're putting together, because you're dealing with talking about systemic racism. So I really want to ask you this question. Creating such an amazing program, because we need to have it. This is incredible. I take my hat off to the both of you and all the work that you're doing, because I've served the community for over a decade. So I get it.
For too long. She's about to retire this year.
But one thing, how do you feel about having a premiere that says there is no systemic racism when creating such a program? Because I find that it creates a division when we need to, you know, educate others, especially the non-black community, to understand that this is a problem, because we do need our allies. So how do you feel by having a premier who just kind of says, well, you know, I'm just refuting that there's systemic racism, but now there's a program that, you know, encompasses one of these issues?
To me, it's really this mixed bag. So on the one hand, I think for a lot of, I would imagine for a lot of black people as well, it's incredibly invalidating, right? To have your existence or your experience to be completely dismissed or invalidated by somebody is incredibly damaging. And I think any human being across any walk of life can understand that.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I've tried to just not live my life in terms of anger or unless I can use it to fuel me, right?
Yes.
So the way I see it is this. Despite that, I know what our reality is, and I shouldn't let that stop me in terms of creating something that reflects what our actual experience is. So on the one hand, it might be a daunting task because maybe the ceiling of what we can do might be limited in terms of getting government funding or so. But at the same time, the fact that what we're doing now, the platform you're giving us, working with Kemi, how this is a product of McGill's efforts, we see that the premier's voice isn't everybody's voice.
It definitely isn't. And I love the way you frame that, because, you know, that it doesn't rage us, it doesn't validate us. Can you talk about, because this is something I used to speak about being a mental health advocate for over a decade, was when we are invalidated, the ramifications of what it does to our self-esteem and to our mental health.
So it really reduces, I would say, overall self-worth and self-esteem, because in part, confidence comes from your ability to kind of have ownership of who we are and your experience and your identity. So I think part of that also exists in the program, in that aside from like working with the family unit, and Cammy will get into this a little bit too, one of the things that it does is it creates and pairs the students with Black McGill alumni or current Black students. Mm-hmm. And so, but I think what that is, it's a way to counterbalance that invalidation.
Yeah.
Representation is so important.
100%.
You get to build a relationship with someone who could be a future version of yourself.
Yep.
You get to project yourself across, whether it be a university, whether it be McGill, whether it be a myriad of different careers or professions that we have Black professionals from who can speak to and Black professors. And I feel that's our way of counterbalancing what different people or the premier or other narratives that say that what we've been fighting for doesn't in fact exist.
Yeah.
And I think that is so empowering and so uplifting. Because I know for me, like, I've never had a Black educator in my life, and I've gone through grad school.
Yeah.
I don't want Black youth to continue to have that same experience. And Kemi's been a bit huge part in kind of putting that in place.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask.
To add on to that, I would say we're not sugarcoating it either. The mentors who are speaking with the kids, they're telling them, you know, it's going to be hard. You might be the only Black student in your class. You might face some discrimination from your teacher, but here's how you can navigate it.
Yeah.
So the alumni and the mentors who are students, they're there to tell you, you know, you're going to go through it, but I've been there, so I can tell you how to navigate it and stay sane and find tools and resources that they can share. It's kind of like, I see it as sending the elevator back down. So I used it to get up, and now I'm sending it back and giving it back.
I can tell you, Kemi, it's very important what you're doing, because my daughter dealt with discrimination when she was in elementary school, and it was by a teacher. And when I try to stand up and speak to the principal and the teacher, nobody was doing anything. No, she wouldn't do that. Then they try to say, well, you know, she has lupus. And I'm like, what does having lupus have to do with? There was always an excuse. I was like, why is this happening? And then the principal decided to join forces. I found out that she was friends with the teacher. And I told my daughter, I said, whatever the school is doing, understand that you have a choice to make here. I know it's hard for you. You're still a young woman. But you're going to face these types of discriminatory acts, not even just from your friends, from your peers. You're going to have it within educators as well. She went to a predominantly white school because of the neighborhood we were living in. It was just so sad to watch. So I think these programs that you're putting together are so important. And for you being a young woman, also having these discussions to empower young women is so important. Because you were saying that it's also helped you get through your struggles in your 20s. How important do you see what you're doing is for the younger generation of women?
I would say what you're sharing is also very important, because I feel like in the program, like Khan mentioned, we have sessions for parents. So every month-ish, it was mostly mothers, I would say, would gather together. And what you've been through, so many women been through it, so many young mothers have been through it, that having a child that's facing discrimination, and how do you show up for them? And we had multiple beautiful conversations on how to show up for yourself first. So that way you can be the best support for your kid. But also, it's isolating sometimes. So you're there, you're thinking, is my kid really living this? So having a space to be able to talk to other mothers, other parents, to say, hey, I'm going through the same thing, and having a safe space to talk about it. Because if your child goes to a predominantly white school, then you're the only mother complaining about this. You might not have people understanding what you're saying.
I would have needed a program like this, honestly, because I was ready to snatch somebody at that school. You know?
You gotta snatch nobody. Okay, so how can the community help you guys? Like, how can we get involved with the program? Like, first of all, I know a lot of parents listening to the show are like, listen, how do I sign my kid up? It sounds like a very exclusive program here.
I don't want it to be exclusive. So I have to say, it is a McGill program, so it's linked to McGill University. Resources are limited, so we have space for about 15 kids per cohort. We're expanding to CEGEP. So if there's kids that are going to CEGEP thinking of university, we're going to open it. We did 1 year with grade 10 and 11. Now we're going to take about 30 kids this year. And applications are opening end of August.
Nice.
It will be all over social media, the best that we can share it. Parents have to sign up. So it's a family affair. Everyone signs up together. And it's honestly a lot of fun. I would say the kids come, a lot of kids wanted to go see basketball games, visit the campus. The way it started, I think I had kids telling me, I'm not sure what I want to do, what I want to study, what career I want to do. And then final meeting, we walk through the campus and they're telling me, oh, that's the med school, that's where I'm going to go. And I say, yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly what we want to achieve. So keep an eye open. We'll be sharing end of August.
I'll definitely be taking a look at, and I'll be sharing it on my socials as well to help this initiative. It's amazing. This program is absolutely amazing.
Send me the link so we can put in our link tree and get all that popping.
I'll put it in mine as well.
So if you're not joining the show, we've been talking to Camille George and Khan Buba. Listen, they do so much work in the community.
Amazing
They have
work.
A program called Pick Your Path for Black Youth. Basically taking grade 10 and 11 kids, bringing them into various areas and equipping them with studies, you know, giving them the, you know, giving them the mentorship.
May I add something?
It's your show, bro. Go on.
Just a couple of things. So,
Kenny, that's not one thing. Yo, listen. Listen, the most introspective, dopest podcast is coming out soon. It's called Conversation. It's produced by Moon One Media and Rick the Specialist. Kambu was amazing on that shit.
Thank you. I appreciate the plug.
I look forward to it.
Kemi was talking about it as well. And I think, so a couple of things. One, thank you for the platform. Two, what we're trying to do by coming here today and speaking about the program is ideally generate interest and enough of a push where there's a need and it can't be denied that we have to make it grow so it isn't exclusionary. And what I think is also really important is, Kemi, a touch upon, with the workshops that we provide, the workshops aren't just about information about careers. It's not just about helping you with the application process, but it's also about wellness. So you see here, there's a way in terms of enriching the community. There's a way in terms of alumni and student leadership giving back to the community, leadership skills. There's healing as well. There's healing as
Very
well.
Important.
And I think that's so key. One of the big okay, this is gonna be a huge selling point. So one of the
we should have led with this.
We should have led with that.
We should have led with this.
I thought you better than that, bro.
So one of the things that makes the program unique, and I wanted to make sure that regardless of what people who go through the program decide at the end of it, that they are always, they're still gonna be rewarded and compensated for their investment, and that's what it is. So every student upon completion of the program receives financial compensation for their participation.
Oh, look at that.
And if they so choose to decide to apply to McGill and are successfully accepted, they will also receive a bursary or stipend towards their tuition as well.
Nice.
So whether you decide to go and pursue that path that leads to McGill or you follow your own, you are rewarded and you are compensated for your investment and you're going through the process.
Wow.
And I think that is unique and key because, again, it's about, I want this to be about an injection of investment towards the community.
I think that's amazing. That is really amazing. People are already going to sign up. They're like, I'm getting compensated too. But
I'm getting paid?
I'm getting paid to do this? Get paid to get better. Like, we have to deal with that.
What I need you and Kimi to do is to come back with some of the kids and I guess some of the kids are. So the program is called Pick Your Path for Black Hoop. If you guys want to get more information, hit us up at the Detour 514. Now, I don't want you guys to leave just yet. We have like 4 minutes left. We're going to play something special for y'all. Now, we can't talk hip-hop.
Ah.
We can't. Yo, I was on my balcony last night. I was like, yo, I got to play this song. I hadn't even downloaded it. We got two versions of this one. Which one are we playing first? Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we'll play both versions.
I don't even know what's coming up, so it's going to be a surprise to me,
too. My city. I want to thank Camille George, Khan Buba. The program is called Pick Your Path for Black People. We'll put the link up there. Please come back with some of the kids.
You're
Let's
always
do that.
Welcome here.
Of course.
Cammy, you can't come back without bringing me some jury. I'm just letting you know.
I will.
That's how you know I do. That's how you know. I'm very straightforward, more in detour. You know how we do things. So, as we close out, we're going to do a part two to the celebration of hip-hop next week.
Because
I didn't do our most polarizing people and we didn't do our best moments.
Maybe we should do a poolside.
Yeah, we know. We're going to go poolside next week.
Yeah.
But hold on. I can't leave here, Kami, without playing some of these joints right here. Give me that Maddie. You know, I'm going to leave Lambo's mic on. Give me that Maddie. Mm-hmm. Hey!
Woo! Yeah. What? Maddie. Oh, my God.
I want you to understand something.
Ooh.
Buffy was coming off the gun shooter with J-Lo in the club. He had J-Lo, the hottest thing in Hollywood at the time.
At the time.
Buffy didn't know what to do. Puffy, Usher, you know a song is crazy when they do two remixes and shoot two videos for the same song.
on the microphone. I got it all, but I really need a wife at home. Hey. I don't really like the zone. Never spend the night.
If you don't like hip hop, you can't talk to the morning DJ. So the number one urban morning show in the country. DJ Matty Lambo, Khan's in the building. Cammy with the good rice. We in the building. So what? Nobody got love for Loon? So what? We asked if Loon was in this shit? Hey! Baby and Maddie. You ain't know.
DKUT, the number one radio station in Montreal. We give you the sun, the moon, the rain, the stars on the mountain. CKUT give you the word.
Amina Claudine Maris. Whenever I'm in Montreal, I like to listen to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Good morning and welcome. Slick, huh? Good morning. Welcome. This is indeed Jazzmuck.